know, the goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Boy, that's a good verse. If you have a Bible, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's a blessing. And we will begin reading in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11. It's called the faith chapter in the Bible. It mentions a lot of people that live by faith and their great testimonies. We'll look at one today. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Substance and evidence. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. Down to verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found before because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want to direct our attention to verse 5, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's a good testimony. Father, bless your word today, and may you minister to every heart here. Burdens, heartaches, trials, and a lot of blessings, Lord. And they're so mixed in our lives. Thank you for the hope that we have in you and the help we have in you. And I pray that you'd minister to each of us, bless as I preach, and bless as we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. By faith, he had this testimony that he pleased God. If you go to the Old Testament, you go through and you listen to the prophets, they're always saying, thus saith the Lord. And they wanted to make sure that everybody that they were speaking to knew where the message was coming from. So we open our Bibles today. And I like to use a lot of Bible because it's not my opinion, it's what God says. And so in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 9, God said to Jeremiah, I have put my words in thy mouth. Jonah, God told Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach the preaching that I bid thee. Deuteronomy 18:18, I will put words in thy mouth, his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Couple more verses just to establish this. Acts 1:16, the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. 2 Peter 1:21, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of the Lord, the word of God, which he heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe it. Timothy was told by the Apostle Paul, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the day will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after, they would want teachers to tickle their ears, the Bible says. So we're to preach the word. If you have a Bible, turn over to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, and we're going to read a couple verses here about Enoch. We are blessed today to have the Bible, to have the Word of God. And we can go to it, and it is a sure foundation. It is truth. The Bible says, thy word is truth. And if we desire it, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And so as we sit here today, God will speak to us. And again, I always apologize for how I deliver the message, but never for the message. Amen. I can stop, stutter, lose my place, tell some wonderful illustrations and jokes, right? That's what I thought. But God's word is always true. We find, if you'll drop down to verse 21 of chapter 5 in Genesis, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. We just read the New Testament account of that in Hebrews. In the next chapter, we see the world falling apart. We have in verse 5 of chapter 6, if you're there, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And then you have the record of the flood and the story of Noah and all that took place there. But here was a man that pleased God, and he walked after God. He walked in the Bible principles and precepts. In Jude, verse 14, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." It's amazing when you take the life of one person and you look at their testimony. Now, God is saying he had this testimony that he pleased me, that he pleased God. We also have that he walked after the principles of God, and he was used mightily of God. And this story is repeated over and over and over in the Bible, just different names. But it's a testimony of faith. He walked with God. He pleased God. Could there be a better testimony? I don't think so. Could there be a higher mission in life? I don't think so. Could there be anything else more important in this life than walking by faith and pleasing God? Amen? Because that is why we're here, and we'll see that. If you're back in Hebrews 11, did I tell you to keep your place there? I probably didn't. Amen? But if you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, it's a great chapter. They call it the chapter of faith for this reason, is over and over and over. It's, if you look at it, verse 4, "By faith Abel," it tells a story. Verse 5, "By faith Enoch," it tells a story. Verse 7, "By faith Noah," here's another story. "By faith Abraham," another story. It's a man's name or a person's name, and then it shows how they walked by faith. You have verse 20, "By faith Isaac." Verse 21, "By faith Jacob." Verse 22, "By faith Joseph." And then you come down a little further, "By faith Moses." And it says there, let me see where I'll pick this up. Verse 32, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions," we know who that was referring to, "quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong." It goes on and on and on. And you have a name, and we know those stories because we've studied them, we've read our Bibles, we've seen these things were written for our learning and for our admonition. So God uses those stories to show us examples of faith. Amen? And that strengthens our faith. If you walk with wise men, you'll be wise. If you're a companion of fools, you'll be destroyed, right? So we see that played out. In Revelation 4:11, the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." The creation is for God's pleasure, and we're a part of that creation. Amen? Colossians 1:16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." That's us. So all of these things, you have Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And what is his good pleasure? That we walk in his ways, right? That we live to please him and choose those things that please God. And God is blessed in that, and we are blessed in that. And it's such a wonderful thing, we'll see. Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith it's impossible to please God." So our faith comes into play. And that's the verse I just quoted. "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So our faith appropriates the promises of God. And as we see the promises of God fulfilled in our lives and the lives of people, it strengthens our faith. Amen? And we are strong in the faith. In Isaiah chapter 58, this is an important few verses here, and this is how we can do this. This is how we can be a blessing. We are put on this earth to proclaim the goodness of God because he's worthy of that. Amen? And so our message always glorifies God because he's worthy of that glory. It says in verse 12, Isaiah 58, "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. What a great thought. Repairer of the breach, restorer of paths to dwell in. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation, and we're able to, as God has reconciled us to God, as Christ did, we are able to have a ministry of reconciliation and bring people to the gospel. Amen? So they can know God and one day have heaven as their home. But the next verse says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath the delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, but doing his pleasure, speaking his words. We have then that shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. You can tell when you're living a life that's pleasing to God, because spiritually you are pleased. The Holy Spirit, what a blessing to have the Holy Spirit in our life, where love, joy, peace, all of those things are evident in our life. Amen? Because we are living our lives to please the Lord. He had this testimony that he pleased God. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing, obviously, to the church at Corinth. In chapter 3 and verse 2, he says, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. The only Bible some people see is you. Amen? Your life lived out that brings glory to God, your life that honors God, that ministers to people and loves people, and here's kindness, and you say, oh, that's God. Here's the love of God. Here's concern. This is God working in my life. They have no idea what the Bible says. Most Christians have never read the Bible, let alone people that don't know the Lord. Amen? But you are known and read of all men. You're a living epistle. We're not talking about the living Bible, a book. We're talking about our life, and that's a blessing. That is our testimony. Enoch had that testimony. It's mentioned he walked with God. It mentioned he pleased God. That was his testimony. Boy, that's a great testimony. What is our testimony? We have Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. For what reason? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. This isn't a proud thing, look what I'm doing. This is, look what God has enabled me to do, and I'm doing it for the glory of God, and he gets the glory. Amen? So we're read of all men. People watch our lives. We have 1 John 3:22. Do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So you have man watching us and God watching us. We do things that are pleasing in the sight of God, and we do things in the sight of men that are pleasing to God. And God is honored by that. A testimony is a solemn declaration or affirmation made for the purpose of establishing or proving some fact. That's our testimony. I'm a great fisherman. Boy, somebody say, show me your stringer. And you pick up the stringer and there's no fish on it. There's no proof that you're the greatest fisherman there is. Amen? If you had a stringer full of fish, somebody might say, yeah, how'd you do that? Boy, I haven't caught anything. We are Christians. Amen? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. All glory to God. Amen? It's God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So as we're doing that, that's God at work in us. It's the Holy Spirit enabling us. It's such a blessing. In Acts 11:24, the Bible talks about Barnabas. What a testimony he had. He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost, and much people were added unto the church. His name means son of consolation. And boy, you see that over and over again in the book of Acts, how he helped people. Turn your Bibles to Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Paul is finishing this letter to the church there, and he's mentioning the names of some helpers, some friends that he had. And again, every name, and we all have a name, amen, and our name is mentioned in certain circles or with family or with whoever, and people have an idea of your testimony, what you believe. They see God in you. They should see God in you. And here is just another example. We could do this all day for hours and hours. We could turn to different scriptures, but look with me Let's start verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So we speak, and people hear our words, and that's part of our testimony. We have, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Here it is in an eternal book. You have whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. Onesimus was saved, remember, in that prison, and Paul led him to the Lord. Verse 10, Archippus, my fellow prisoner, saluted you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments. We come down to verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And it goes on. You can read it later. It gives name after name, and it tells who they are. Amen? And we don't know these. We've never met these people, but it's recorded in the Bible, so it's true. That was their testimony. And we all have a testimony. It's an important thing to have. In Hebrews chapter 11, we didn't go that far to the end of the chapter. But all of these names and all of their deeds and all of their activities, great faith. But you have a group that's called the others. The others, whom there was no deliverance for. The others who were nameless. Yet the world was not worthy of them because they had such great faith and did such great things. Our name doesn't have to be mentioned because God knows, amen, who we are. Romans 15:3. For even Christ pleased not himself. Remember he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He suffered for us for the joy that was set before him. We read about our Savior, Psalm 40 and verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. He delighted to do the will of God. Boy, that's a real indicator of whether we're living to please God, if we have that delight. Amen? If it's a forced march, if it's something we just, then it's all has to do with circumstances and other people and what we get out of it. But when we're willing to do what the Lord wants, many times there's sacrifice. Many times there's hardship, but we delight to do his will because he can be blessed and praised because of that. We read about Moses, Hebrews 11:25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And he esteemed this choice of the reproach of Christ greater than all the riches in Egypt. He esteemed it. He valued it. And he rejoiced that he could do that. We read about the Apostle Paul, Acts 20:24. He's getting ready to go to Jerusalem. He has suffered untold heartache. He's been beaten. He's been rejected. The night and the day he spent in the deep. All of these things that he suffered. Just to go from place to place to preach the gospel. It was nothing for him. It was all for Christ. You know his testimony in Acts chapter 9. Who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus. What do you want me to do? Amen? And boy, he was true to that. He had that testimony. He said in Acts 20:24, none of these things move me, all of the things that have happened to me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The end of his life, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And I've kept the something. He kept something. I wonder what that was. Oh, yeah, it was faith. I've kept the faith. And it was that faith in Christ that was so real that Paul could do anything. He'd go anywhere. Whatever God wanted him to do, he would do it because he had faith in Christ. This is the will of God for me. It's that I go here and preach the gospel, that I respond this way. Amen? And he pleased God. It was all because of his faith. But those are all Bible stories. Let's come outside the scripture for a little bit. You'll see Bible principle here, but these are the stories of some people that some of you might know or have known. Jim Elliot is a great missionary. He wasn't a missionary very long. He was killed by the Alka Indians, if you know the story. But he had a wonderful testimony. And it says, as a little boy growing up in Portland, Oregon, Jim Elliot listened carefully as visiting missionaries told about life on faraway mission fields. He asked them questions and dreamed about being a missionary himself one day. It made him sad that so many people in other countries died without knowing about God. That was put in him as a little child, and he desired that, and God nurtured that, and God brought people in his life that could lead him in that direction, and he ultimately surrendered for the mission field. He was killed that day by the Alka Indians, but even his wife, Elizabeth Elliott, she went back to those people and won the very killers of her own husband. Why? Why would somebody do that? Why would they not be filled with bitterness and anger and frustration? Because she knew the cause of Christ, and those people needed to be saved. Amen? And one day it will be worth it all. Be worth it all. But this is what Jim Elliot said before he ever became a missionary. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Wow. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. There's a young man by the name of Will Borden. He was the heir to the Borden Dairy fortune. And it was a fortune. And he knew God and he loved God. And he began to get this call to the mission field. I want to read something. During his college years, Will Borden made an entry in his personal journal that defined what his classmates were seeing in him, his testimony. The entry said simply, "Say no to self and yes to Jesus every time." No to self, yes to Jesus. He wanted to go overseas to the mission field, and everybody's telling him, "Are you crazy? You're going to inherit all of this money. You're going to have this position. You'll have wealth untold." And he says, no, he wanted to go do the will of God. There's a couple stories, and one is he died on the ship on the way overseas. The other is he just made it to his mission field, and he died shortly thereafter. But they looked in his Bible, and in the fly leaf of his Bible, after he had died, and really didn't have a ministry, he wanted to, but three statements were there. No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. No regrets. He gave his life. He gave up, just like Moses. He forsook the riches of Egypt, and he chose rather to suffer with the people of God that he might honor the Lord. Darlene Rose, I don't know if you've ever heard her testimony or even know who she is. If you get a chance, she has her testimony. She gave it. And it's about, she was a missionary in New Guinea, and she was... her husband was also captured and killed by the Japanese while he was in a different internment camp, but she suffered. She suffered greatly. And she wrote this. She wrote a book entitled Evidence Not Seen, A Woman's Miraculous Faith in a Japanese Prison Camp During World War II. And you see her spirit and the Japanese soldiers that she won to the Lord because of that spirit being so mistreated. Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby was born blind. She wrote 8,000 hymns. Wouldn't you like to have her songbook? 8,000. Okay, let's all stand and turn to page 7,922, you know. You'd be turning all day. She wrote poems. She was just such a blessing to so many people. Born blind. That was her life. Frances Ridley Havergal. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my houses and my lands, all my dreams and all my plans. I'm placing my whole life in your hands. I mean, how could somebody write something like that? It's because it was in their heart. Amen? The will of God. What pleases God today? We've come to church today. I didn't want to come. That's not how to come to church. Amen? You come to church, you want to please God. And since you're pleasing God, you'll come through that back door with a smile on your face. Amen? Well, my car is acting up and this is that. Yeah, but we're in church. We're singing. We're praising Almighty God. I think that's a blessing. Amen? We did missions work, and I've mentioned it before, in Romania. Back in 91, our first Bible Institute, we had 12 men come. They really paid a price because the Bible Institute was 6 months long. Linda and I were only there for 6 weeks, and there were other preachers that would come and teach. But 12 men from Russia, from Moldova, from the Ukraine, and some from Romania. And they came, and all day long we would teach the Bible, all day long. But to be there for 6 months, they couldn't do their crops, they couldn't do that. They made a great sacrifice to be there and have that opportunity. Romania had just opened to the gospel. They were so hungry. They just, every word they just desired so greatly. Victor, Elijah, Grisha, Julian, Andre, 12 men. And that's 30 years ago, somewhere around there. And I was just a kid. I was 6 years old when I went over there. Amen. I had to stand on a stool and teach them. But anyway, they're still serving the Lord, these guys. We hear about them all the time. We have contact. And we hear about the great work they're doing for the Lord. Poor lady in Mexico I mentioned, we were there. She was living in this little stick hut, all crippled with arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, no running water. But she had a piece of cardboard that was nailed up to one of the boards in there. And it was the name of all these preachers. And she put my name there. I'm sure she's with the Lord now because that was some time ago. But she wanted to pray for me. Amen? What a smile she had on her face too. Such a blessing. So many soldiers of the cross. So many humble servants. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. Romans 13:7, render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. All of these years that I've been here, and even before that, you've had a hero of the faith in your church, right here. Ken Klein, Madeline is just as much a hero. We love them dearly. He pastored 4 churches at one time. If anybody ought to be in Hebrews 11, it ought to be. Amen. I mean, I am so privileged to have pastored you for a number of years. I can't even express it. You're such a blessing. And we honor you today. You have a wonderful testimony. Wonderful testimony. He does get the glory. Your light is shining because that's his light in you. Amen? And it's so evident. It is so evident. And sometimes we're so humbled that we can't even comprehend that how could I have this testimony? Again, all glory goes back to God. But he has used you in my life. He has used both of you in my wife's life. They're just such a blessing to us. Amen, church? They're just, our church is so grateful for the time that you've been with us and for the testimony you have. Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. And this is for you. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. We want you to know as a church that we will never forget you. We will never forget you. I know you're ministering in another church now. We hated to see you go. We let the air out of your tires 5 or 6 times. And I don't know who fixed it for you, but we know you're where you need to be. You're doing what you need to do. But you will be remembered here. An old missionary couple had been working in Africa for years. They were returning to the New York City to retire. They had no pension. Their health was broken. They were defeated and discouraged and afraid. They discovered they were booked on the same ship as President Teddy Roosevelt who was returning from one of his big game hunting expeditions. No one paid much attention to them. They watched the fanfare that accompanied the president's entourage, with passengers trying to catch a glimpse of the great man. As the ship moved across the ocean, the old missionary said to his wife, "Something is wrong. Why should we have given our lives in faithful service to God in Africa all these many years and have no one care a thing about us? Here this man comes back from a hunting trip and everybody makes much over him, but nobody gives two hoots about us." "Dear, you shouldn't feel that way," his wife said. "I can't help it. It just doesn't seem right." When the ship docked in New York, a band was waiting to greet the president. The mayor and other dignitaries were there. The papers were full of the president's arrival, but no one noticed the missionary couple. They slipped off the ship and found a cheap flat on the east side, hoping the next day to see what they could do to make a living in the city. That night, the man's spirit broke. He said to his wife, "I can't take this. God is not treating us fairly." His wife replied, "Well, why don't you go into the bedroom and tell that to the Lord?" Boy, that's good advice. Amen. A short time later, he came out from the bedroom, but now his face was completely different. His wife asked, "Dear, what happened?" And he said, "The Lord settled it with me. I told him how bitter I was that the president should receive this tremendous homecoming when no one met us as we returned home. And when I finished, it seemed as though the Lord had put his hand on my shoulder and simply said, 'But you're not home yet. You're not home yet.'" Linda and I know something about the pastorate. It's been about 45 years for us. Madeline, we know the hardships of a pastor's life. We know the burdens, and we certainly know them for you, Ken, and helps us to pray for you. A number of years ago, the men in our church in Sturgis bought a picture for me. It's meant a lot to me down through the years, and it shows the Lord ministering to the pastor. And I want you to have that picture. It's meant so much to me, and I know that it will mean something to you. You can just sit right there. It's a picture of a pastor in his office and the Lord ministering to him. And sometimes nobody else. Think of it. Think what God called him from, an old farmer that couldn't grow corn. I made that up. He was a farmer, but he couldn't grow corn. And called him into the ministry, and all the sacrifices he made over the years and the burdens he carried. And one day, might be soon, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Love you guys so much. Let's bow our heads. Well, it isn't. It isn't. We're rejoicing in your life, brother. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word. We so appreciate your love for us, your care for us. We so appreciate Ken and Madeline today. And may you just be a blessing to them. May you give great comfort and grace and help them to know how much we love them and how this church will always remember them. Thank you for the privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's